thank you for being a Bump 2 subscriber. In this exclusive podcast, Douglas and I explore how each sound bath is unique. We talk about what goes into creating a sound bath, about the role of intuition and resilience, and about the incredible creative power of thought. How do you tune a sound bath to an individual? How do you put together, what are the considerations in putting together a sound bath?
Yes. Really listening to the person. I do breath work at the beginning, of course. And they can be specific. Everything is confidential. You know, it's not discussed outside of the session. And understanding or working with chakras of, are you having something that you're having trouble getting across verbally? Are you having an emotional issue? Are you having a grounding issue? Are you having a potential issue? Are you having a... things of that nature teaches me what and how to play for that individual and or couple. Even a group.
Is it an intuitive process?
Absolutely. Everyone has intuition. This is one thing that I really believe in. But do you practice it? Do you truly practice it? And I'll give an example. You remember when you had that gut feeling about something in your life? That's intuition. Okay, everybody has had that. But we don't practice it. And I remember I was doing a seminar, a retreat, and that was a resilience coach. And there was also an intuition coach. And I did the intro with a sound bath. And she was talking about, and when you have that intuition, some people say, it's just a thought. And they try to react on it maybe 3 days later and it's not there. Well, when the intuition, she's mentioning and teaching about how to really act on it when you're having it. That's why it's coming to you. I mean, it's coming to you out from out there. Yes, the energy is coming to you. That's what the thought is. And again, thoughts and creation and abundance and law of attraction. When everything that exists today in the material physical world once was not, meaning it was an energy source just floating around until it connected to someone who was having, hey, what if I did this and did this and made a round wheel instead of a square wheel? You know?
No, it all starts with an idea, an intangible idea, and then pursuing it. No, I think intuition is incredibly important. And I think that, again, in our Western world particularly, we lack the still minds. We don't pay enough attention to some of these signs. How do you go about opening up your intuition so that you're more receptive to it?
Oh, that's a great question. And if all of us have intuition and all of us have chatter, there may be a select extreme few of gurus who have no chatter in their mind, okay? Zero, if possible, right? But basically, it's lessening, it's not raising your intuition. You already have that. It's lessening your chatter.
That makes total sense.
Which we all can do with practice. And once again, that takes consciousness, being aware. Is it real? Is it true?
And what is truth?
Which is our belief system, or some people call it our BS.
I actually like that. I took a course recently where the essence of the course was to look at your belief system and to recognize when you're acting out of these beliefs unconsciously.
Right. Yeah.
And it's astonishing the layers of beliefs we create for ourselves.
Which,
and they're all block our
absolutely energy. And our beliefs can always be changed, so that means they're not necessarily mm-hmm. true, or you know, they're not set in stone, they're not you know. So does it serve you, and does it serve the greater good? When I say serve you, I don't mean in a manner to be selfish. I mean, serving as in to be serving. Do you feel good and is healthy? Well, healthy is a belief system too. Well, what's healthy? You need to define everything, you know. But there's ways to get there for sure.
Where do you think sound healing is going? Is it going to, over time, have a greater place in our healing modalities?
I really hope it does. I look at acupuncture, and I look at different modalities like that, and how far even yoga has come from, you know, the 19, you know, probably 60s and 70s. How,
that's a good example.
So I'd love to see that. And, I'll give a plug to my friend, Trey Wyatt, who owns the gong shop out in San Francisco. I ordered one from him recently. He says, "Oh my God, Douglas, you wouldn't believe this, the sales of what's going on at and people who are playing for themselves, and people who are practitioners, and people who are studying to be practitioners. It's amazing. So it's nice to hear."
What advice would you give somebody looking to experience sound healing? How do you find somebody in your area?
I would get out online and type in those keywords, number one. I would reach out to maybe modalities that are in wellness or alternative wellness, like yoga practice, acupuncture, and core and stuff like that. And I also travel, so locally. I'm working on something in a couple of different states at the moment. After everything opens up and is safe, so once again, you know, Lotus Sound Bath does work outside of the studio. Yeah.
And your website is lotussoundbath.com, correct?
.com, absolutely. And on that website, you can listen to samples that are video. You can also listen to samples that are audio on bandcamp.com. And there's a link on the front page of the website that will get you to those. And they're purchasable and downloadable, but you can actually listen to them and try them out. And I highly suggest, you know, headphones, but it's really... I'm just astonished and amazed just the feedback that I get to people that have a lot of chatter. And then after they put that on to get to sleep or relax in the middle of the day. And I'm all the people who use that. And I'm very grateful to those people. And I hope I can put out more and help more people. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take you shopping with me because I have been fascinated by these sounds forever. I went to a walk with the Labyrinth Society, and they had somebody playing these massive crystal bowls. And I think they were singing some sort of Irish lilting tune. I mean, it was totally, you know, an odd combination of things, perhaps. But, oh my God, it was magical. And it just transported you. And in combination with walking a labyrinth, it was an experience that really touched me.
Again, walking a labyrinth is a way of centering. And once again, you're not raising your intuition. You're lessening your chatter when you walk the labyrinth.
I was surprised when I walked my first labyrinth. It was much more of a profound experience than I'd anticipated. I think there's something about going back and forth and in and out, and it's unidirectional, and yet it cuts back on itself. And it's such a great metaphor for how we wander through so many of the decision points we have to make in life. thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. You can subscribe to our free podcast at www.bumpintheroad.us or become a premium member to hear the full conversation. Just go to www.bumpintheroad.us for more information and to sign up.